Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The book of Isaiah. Those old familiar verses in Isaiah chapter number 53. Glory, glory, glory. The Lord is moving upon the old prophet, allowing him to see what would be coming. And oh, I'm so glad that it came, aren't you? Isaiah chapter number 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But! Let's read that line again. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But! He was wounded for our transgression. Glory. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, could we just all say that together tonight? And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, Brother Bartee spoke of all of those little devils last night. There might have been a couple that didn't hear us. Let's say it a little bit louder. And with his stripes, we are healed. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After the Lord had begun doing such wonderful things, he had healed me of depression. I assume the right word to say there is healed. Perhaps it's delivered. I don't know. But I know there is a pit of despair that wonderful people, not just the backslidden people, not just people that don't know God, good people that has allowed their minds to stay on trouble and trials, that fall into a terrible pit of despair. Amen. Oh, where do you think that Thomas was whenever he refused to go to church with them? Whenever he refused to even believe that they saw Jesus? I'll tell you where he was at. He was falling down into despair. Depression, my friend. But oh, I'm so glad that Jesus delivered me. Glory! I told you last night of the great miracle that the Lord did. My mouth had been wired together shut for several months. The Lord opened it up miraculously. Glory! Those wires that fell out of my mouth unexplainably, they had been surgically sewn in there, but they had no flesh on them. They had no blood on them. They were just kind of shining like they were brand new metal wires. Glory! Since then, I've wished so bad I wouldn't have gave them to that doctor and kept them. Ah, man, if I'd have known I was going to be up here tonight, surely I'd have had enough sense to keep them. But, you know, I didn't really think about then that the Lord would use it to help everybody else's faith. And I never thought to keep them. I sure wish I would have, but I could just sit out those little shiny wires there for you. Glory, glory, glory. Well, but understand, during this time, I was in still very much limited position. I was still, my left side, mostly paralyzed. It was completely useless. Nothing I could do with my left side. And oh, my friend, my eyes, the optical nerve had been severed, held on by just a hair. And I could see a little bit of light and movement, but I couldn't tell who my own mama was standing right in front of me. My eyesight was 90-something percent blind. And oh, my mind was so damaged with the brain damage that I had trouble figuring out the simplest things. I was constantly scared, upset, confused. Oh, my friends, but I'm so glad that the Lord, He never left me. Glory, glory, glory. He was with me all the way. And you know, Matthew chapter 28, the very last verse, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And you know, I've got that Thompson Chain Bible. You got one? Oh, I love it. And anyway, I done the chain references, Pastor, to, you know, what it's talking about there. He would go with us all the way to the end of the world. And it explained that it was speaking that the coming of the Lord, as when time is over, at that point, but they're so confused on even the coming of the Lord. You know, but anyway, whenever time is over as we know it, that the Lord would still be with us. I want to tell you, I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think that Jesus is so personable. I think He knows us. I believe that He wants us to know Him. My friend, I believe no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how good you're living, I believe there's room for you to get a little closer and know Him a little better. And oh, if you'd be here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I want you to know He is so easy to know. What a friend He is, and He stands with outstretched arms, and it is His mercy, His grace, and His love that would give you the opportunity to know Him. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to know Him. Amen? He's very personable. And I believe that what He was talking about was not just the end of the world, but that when our lives are over as we know it, because of loss, because of pain, because of disaster, trouble. Oh, I know that Brother Prescott has been there. Whenever it is the saddest place that a pastor ever walks, whenever he has to stand there around the graveside after the final words has been said, or perhaps right here in the church, take a hold of a blessed loved one as they weep and say, "This is as far as we can go. We've got to leave now." Oh, my friends, there will be times in your life that you feel like your life is over as you know it. And you know what? Thank God for a great man of God like Brother Prescott to be your pastor. But there's only so far he can go. I love you so much. I want you to know I'm willing to walk with you as far as I can. But that ain't too far. Oh, my friend, but Jesus, He left you a promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Would you give Him a praise and thank Him for loving you so much that He'd go with you all the way? Glory! And because the Lord was with me, even though I was in pain all over my body every day, there was nothing any more difficult than on those church nights whenever Missy would get me ready for church, put me in the chair and take me, or back even before that she could even do that much, and all the church would come over to the parsonage night after night, gather around me and pray for me. And I'll just tell you, I was a little embarrassed. I just, you know, all the attention. But oh, because the Lord was with me, I just wanted to pray one more time. Just pray for me a little bit more. all the pain. Would you just touch heaven for me? Would you just pray for me again? And I'm so thankful that they kept on praying. But you know, I must tell you that the Lord did not answer the prayers and heal me when I thought that He should have. Or when those praying for me thought they should have. He gave us some promises. And with His stripes, we are healed. They shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall recover. Amen. Those are promises. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, praying over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Glory. He's going to raise them up. Promises. But He doesn't always move when we think He should. Because He can see so much more than we can see. As high as the heavens is above the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways. So are His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Oh, Lord, I may not understand Your timing, but I trust You. But I trust You, but I trust You. And oh, as they sung that beautiful song a while ago, I've been through enough to know that He's enough. How that goes and how it went. Oh, let me tell you, I've been through enough that I can tell you tonight, I can promise you, He may not move when you think He should, but He is not flat concerning His promises. He has never failed you yet, and He ain't going to start now. God is God and always will be God. You hold right on till He answers. Don't you give up. God is good for His word. Glory! If I tell you that after church, Brother Peach, I'll meet you out here at my vehicle after church. You know, the Lord taught me not to talk that way. Because the storms could get so bad tonight that I couldn't get out there in my vehicle. Come on now. The water could get so deep that I couldn't get out there. He taught me that what I should do is say, the good Lord willing. If it be the Lord's will. Brother, the Lord willing, I'll meet you out there after church. Come on now. Oh, but that's the thing about our God. He didn't have to talk that way because God is God. Me and you, we're just man. We need to talk that way. But God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said it, shall He not do it? Hath He spoken it, shall He not make it good? He is good for His word. Glory! If He said it, you can write it down and count on it. Amen? And oh, my friend, many, many times. At first, I was in a wheelchair for months. And then through much, much, much physical therapy, I'd gotten to where I could kind of drag myself with a walker. And not very good, and I fell a lot of times, but I liked that better than the chair. And time again, they prayed for me. Oh, my friends, I don't understand exactly why the Lord didn't move way back there, but He knows why. Come on now. He knows why. And oh, we got to plan on coming back to the home church 7 hours away in Cincinnati. They was in revival, and we was very excited to get to come home and be in revival. And so Pastor Miller, he had told everybody that we was coming home. He wanted them to be ready to pray. He wanted them to be able to pray, be ready to pray for me again. Jesus said, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever the disciples questioned, whenever the daddy of the boy questioned, but everything that you say, it's what the disciples said. They did it just like you do it. They said all the same words you say. But that boy's still bound. Ah, Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Come on now, church. Come on here now. Oh, if the Lord is going to do miracles amongst us, we need to pray and fast. We need to pray and fast. Come on now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so, after the preacher preached, I was there with my walker. I'd fell on that particular night 3 times coming down the middle aisle. And the church is on a slope, you know, at an angle going downward. That's all really good for all of you good high jumping folks, but when you're in a wheelchair and you're having trouble stopping it, or you're on a walker, it ain't too good. And so some of the brothers, they kind of carried me, you know, down here to the front seat. And when the preacher got done preaching, some of them came and said, "Brother Doug, we're wanting to pray for you." And so they brought me up there and set my walker down and had me come up here and stand. And they did it just the way the Lord said, got the oil out to anoint me. And about that time, one of the sisters in the church, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember very clearly what I heard her say. She said, "Well, the Lord said," actually, see, she said, "Jesus said." She said, "Jesus said, they shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall recover." Oh, my friend, if she would have said, Pastor Prescott said, Reverend Pete said, I'd have listened. I got confidence in them, Brother Barth. I'd have listened. Amen? But they're just men. She said, Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Oh, when she said that, I felt such a charge of the Spirit of the Lord. They laid hands upon me. Understand, I'm 90% blind. My left side is paralyzed. I'm in pain all over. I'm so confused. And oh, they prayed over me. And I'll tell you, I felt such a charge of the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to turn around and run to pew. I tried to turn around and realized I was still in that condition. They brought me back to the pew. Can I sit on the altar, Pastor? They brought me back to the pew. And my little brother, Dwayne, he got up singing that song, "There's a Miracle in the Making for You." Y'all ever heard that song? "There's a Miracle in the Making for You." And you know, while he was singing that song, things just quit hurting. I just started feeling better. I was in pain all over, and the pain was just leaving. One thing right after the other. And without thinking about what I was doing, I just raised my paralyzed hand up in the air and I started praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling so much better. Oh, thank you, Lord. That quit hurting. And that quit hurting, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling better. Glory. Well, I looked up on the platform and there stood my wife's brother. He's a terrific preacher, but you know, me and him have been best buddies since we were children, and preteen years, and he's made fun of me before. And so I looked up there, and he was standing there with the evangelist, Brother Webster, and they were hitting each other and laughing and pointing at me and getting everybody else to look at me. And I didn't know what that they were laughing at. I didn't know what was going on. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, have mercy. Brian Miller and Kevin Webster need to be sanctified. Here I am getting a blessing, and they're laughing. And then I saw Brian tell somebody. He went, pointed his arm, pointed mine. I looked up at my arm. I said, "Messy, messy, my arm's in the air. Glory! Church, my arm is still in the air, and it wasn't the doctors. It was Jesus. It is with His stripes. My arm is in the air tonight. With His stripes, we are healed!" Brother Pete, come here and help me. Come here for a minute and do this with me. Come right here. Stand right here. Can you pretend like you're a real mean person with not much of a heart? I want you to pretend like you're a therapist. We don't have any therapists here, do we, tonight? I made a comment like that one time and had one there that night and wish I would have said that. But, you know, in order to be a therapist, you know, you have to be kind of mean and no heart, no pity.
Oh, I think you could be mean.
Well, and so raise up my left arm there, the paralyzed arm. Raise it up there, Brother Peach. And then hold it up and then say, now, I'm going to count to three. And you're going to hold that arm up there, okay? Don't you let that arm fall. Are you ready? One, two, three. It just fall back down. I couldn't hold it up for nothing. They did that once, 100 times, I guess 1,000 times. And church, thank you, Brother Peach, I just didn't have the ability to do it. Oh, but let me tell you, that arm is up there tonight. That arm is up there tonight. And I'll tell you why it's up there. Because with his stripes, my arm is healed. Glory! Thank you, Jesus! I'm not paralyzed! Glory! I was so happy that I just turned around and started getting everybody's attention, you know, and waving at them. I'm telling you, people got up and started running, dancing, speaking in tongues. It was pandemonium around there. And I was waiting with some people. I was saying, well, I should have waited him years ago. And I just thought, you know, and I come on here now. I still wave at that brother just to see if it works. Anyway, I just thought, you know, it was because I could wave at him with my paralyzed arm. That was a good enough reason to shout. Amen. I waved at my good friend, Brother Dave, on the platform. He jumped up and he went, you see me? I just didn't realize it. I could see every man clearly. Jesus opened up my blinded eyes, church. Hey. I'm so thankful that me and you have all the Bible stories to read. And oh, every one of them are true. Amen. Oh, but there's a whole lot of media stories. There's a whole lot of television, radio preachers telling stories tonight that are not true. They're just looking for your money. Amen. Oh, but this is a holiness preacher. I'm standing in a holiness church. I'm telling you, I was blind, but I'm looking at you tonight because my Jesus is my healer. And with his stripes, we are healed. If you believe he's a healer, give him a praise. Woo! Brother Miller, they shouted for a long time. My brother said it was after midnight. I haven't got to talk to him, though, since Friday night. I can't wait to tell him. Hey, you thought that was an awful long service. You ever been there to Martinsville Church? My goodness, brother. It's 1:15. Come on now. And finally, Brother Miller said, as he says every night, let's all stand and be dismissed. My walker was there, and I just wanted to try it. I had tried it many times. My daddy had gotten on me and talked pretty rough to a crippled fella about keeping on trying to get up. And you know, understand, I had tried what the Christian scientists call mind over matter. I had tried to believe in myself and be such a positive thinker. I'm going to tell you, friends, we do need more positive thinking in the Holiness Church. We need to quit looking at each other as if there's something wrong with everybody and quit paying attention to every little fault that we see around and think a little more positively about the work of God and what's going on around here. Amen? Come on now. And we do need to have made-up minds. I can preach for an hour tonight and go on any direction, your job, your family, your relationship with the Lord, and let you know if you don't have a made-up mind, you ain't going to get very far in life. You need a made-up mind. But on the other hand, My friend, all the positive thinking in the world has a ceiling. Can't get no higher. All the made-up mind that you have, all the belief and self-esteem that you have, has a limit. It don't solve everything. There are some things only the Lord can do. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, I remember getting myself, worked my way until I could get myself on the end of the bed. I got so tired of the embarrassment and so tired of all of taking Missy's time and everybody's worry and time. I had to go to the restroom. I just wanted to go by myself. And I was thinking positively. I had a made up mind more than once. And I'd work my way there. And with everything in me, I'd try. And I'd end up on the floor every time. I just couldn't do it. Oh, but that night when Brother Miller said, "Let's all stand to be dismissed," I did. I didn't hold on to the walker. Nobody had a hold of me. I just stood up, brother. Glory! And I didn't fall. I just stood up! And as they prayed the dismissal, I fought a great battle on the inside that nobody could see. Deep down in my heart, something was telling me, this is it. Take a step. This is it. Take a step. But oh, so much louder in my mind. Oh, the raging thoughts. If you take a step, you're going to end up laying on the floor. And what a way for this great service to end, with everybody gathered around you to see if you're okay. Your mom and dad's back there, your family's. Grab your walker. Oh, my friend, I'm so glad that through the name of Jesus, I was able to overcome that fear, that scary feeling of what it might be if I couldn't take the step. My friend, obviously I'm not talking to anybody that can't walk tonight that I know of. But, oh, I don't know what I'm preaching about. But when the Lord gets ready for you to take a step forward, come on now, a step forward. Hey, we have got to, in the name of Jesus, hold on to the hand of God with faith. Believe that the Lord is in control. I took a big, deep breath, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I took a step. I wobbled. It wasn't a pretty step. But I didn't fall. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I took another step. I was still wobbling. They wasn't pretty. But I wasn't falling. Hey! It's been 10.5 years ago. And I'm still not making real pretty steps, but I'm still not falling. Oh, glory! Oh, because Jesus is my healer, and with His stripes, we, me and you, we are healed! Glory! The Lord spoke to me. I had a friend that him and his wife had taken a trip to Hawaii. And they came back, you know, bragging about their vacation. And I'm not here to pick fault or anything else. Just my personal opinion. Don't fall out with me. I just can't imagine spending that kind of money for a vacation. And I looked at him with all the love that I could muster and all of his bragging. And I said, "Hey, brother, What in the world is there in Hawaii for a holiness person to do? And he said, I knew you'd say that. He said, last Sunday, we took our rental car far out of the city on the island of Oahu. We just went out on a long drive. And way over an hour out of the city, hour and 20 minutes, I believe it is, he said, we just got on a country road where there was just, you know, a few Hawaiian native people living around, and passed the church. And my wife said, well, look at that. There's holiness people. He said, I hit my brakes. He said, I took a look, and there was a whole bunch of sisters out in front of the church that had on dresses and looked like holiness people. He said, I pulled in there, and the sign said, the Greater Mount Zion Holiness Church. Glory! He said, I said, wait till we tell Brother Doug about this one. And I laughed, you know, and immediately something grabbed my heart. And the Lord let me know immediately I needed to go there and tell them my testimony. Well, that's a whole lot more money than a holiness preacher can afford, or, you know, there's more than I can afford. And that's just nothing I've ever desired to do, to go over there. But the Lord dealt with me so strong. I've got to go to that church and give them my testimony. I didn't know the name of the road the church was on. I didn't know the name of the pastor. I didn't know anything about it except for there's a little church out on this road going that direction, an hour and 20 minutes out of the city. And that's about the best directions I got. And so me and the family, we started praying. Lord, if it be your will, you'll make the way. It was amazing. It would take me all night to tell you all the things the Lord started moving in and started doing that he made the way. Everything that we started doing, I'll give you an example. We couldn't find any place to stay that, you know, didn't feel like to me was buying a house or something, you know, just needing a room for a few nights. And one place they explained to us was going to have only be what was like a third or a half of what the normal price was if we went on one particular weekend. And so Missy, of course, asked, well, what's going on that weekend? Why is it so cheap? They said, well, because we know that people will not want to stay because that week we're having our pool renovated. We'll stay that week. Come on now. That weekend we'll be. And so it all came on the same weekend. We had decided that the best time for us to go would have been in June, but this weekend was the April before that. And it just, everything was going to be if we went that particular weekend. So I thought I found my way out, looking at my handy-dandy date book. I said, Missy, that's the weekend that we get to preach a homecoming. And you all know that I'm a nobody, and to preach a homecoming is a pretty major thing in this preacher's life. And I said, you know, I ain't going to cancel that to get to go over there. That, you know, that's a big thing for me. Lo and behold, the very next day, that pastor called me and said, we need to reschedule that homecoming. My point is, the Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord knew what he was doing. When we got there, miraculously, we drove straight to the church. It was just unbelievable how everything worked out for us to be there. Walked into the Sunday morning service, and there was, the building is probably, I would say, twice this wide, and maybe even three times this long, maybe four times, but not one millionth as pretty as this church. It has a very low, flat roof, lots of windows with no glass, all the old wooden pews, concrete floor. These are very poor people. And These are all Hawaiian native people. We went in there. There was well over 200 people there. And there was one other white gentleman there who had married a Hawaiian lady in the church. And we were the only white people there. And so we could feel everybody looking at us, you know. And the pastor came back, introduced himself, asked me my name, wrote it down on a piece of paper. He went up to the Bible desk. He said, "Now, the years that I've been your pastor, you know I've never done anything like this." He said, "We have to be very careful about opening up our pulpit to visitors from the mainland. We never know what we're getting into." He said, "But the Lord has spoken to me this morning, told me to invite," and get out his piece of paper, and, you know, their accent is very tough there, and he read my name, and he said, "Brother," he said, "I want to tell you to come up here and sing and preach and obey the Lord. But the Lord has told me to specifically tell you to come and give us your testimony." He said, "Does that make sense to you? Do you know what I mean?" "Yeah, I know what you mean."
All right.
I started telling them my testimony. And when I started telling them the miracles, just what I've shared with you tonight, oh, about how all of a sudden I could see. I remember specifically telling them, "And hey, my friend, right now above this church," I said, "there in the airwaves, there are television and radio preachers that are telling you stories and telling you that they'll pray for you if you'll send them $50. I said, "But hey, I am just here to tell you that Jesus is my healer. This is what Jesus has done for me." And I've never had that type of reaction as I had that day. People began to weep all over the church. And just an uncontrollably weeping way, they began to weep. Some was walking. There was some that had just got down on the floor and crying. And over here, I'd already noticed a man, probably in his 50s, sitting in a wheelchair. He looked like a man that was probably born severely mentally retarded. His mouth was open. He was shaking like this. Drool was coming out of his mouth. And you could see that he was in very pitiful condition. And during all of that, the pastor went down and got the wheelchair. And he pulled it up front over here. And when he did, I mean probably 100 people, they just ran out of the pews to him as quick as they could and just started gathering around him and praying for him. Folks, this is all part of God's plan. Understand that they had the oil with them. They anointed him with oil and prayed over him. But understand, I did not anoint him. I did not touch him. I never got within 30, 35 feet of the man. Maybe even a lot farther than that. The whole time they prayed for him. That was part of God's plan. My friend, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Come on here now. Come on here now. It's not about me, I said. It's about Jesus. Come on. They got done praying for him. Pushed him back over there. I was where I could see him, and I didn't see anything different about him that I could see. The pastor came back to the Bible desk. He said, "Brother," he took out his thing and read my name. He said, "It was no coincidence or no accident that you were here today." I told you how the Lord had everything for us to be there that day. He said, "This gentleman that we've just prayed for is Brother Turner. He's my assistant pastor. 4 months ago, he was on his scooter in a terrible accident
and was completely ran over by an automobile. Today, he is suffering from every one of the injuries that you have told us about today, he's suffering with right now. Lord, have mercy. And oh, my friend, I understood what a privilege that the Lord allowed us to be there to say a little something. Not that the Lord needed me to lay hands upon him. Come on here now. He just gave me the privilege to brag on Jesus. We left and came back to the mainland, of course, and 3 weeks later, they are 6 hours behind us. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning where I was at, just Saturday evening there. The pastor called me. He said, "Brother Doug, I had to call you and tell you, you remember Brother Turner, my assistant pastor, that we prayed for? Oh, yes. How is he, Pastor?" He said, "Brother, tomorrow morning, he will be preaching his first message back in the pulpit." Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My friend, since then, we have gotten to go back to that church, be with them, preach a revival, and just was back there a couple weeks ago. And let me tell you, Brother Turner is doing better than I am. He's feeling good. He is just looking so good. He's in such great, and you know, his brain was, I would say, and I don't know this for sure, but I would say more brain damage than what I suffered. Understand that years ago, he had already got his college degree, and he has worked at the Pearl Harbor Naval Base for several years, many years. And now he also has an evening job at the local Bible college in Honolulu. He's a Bible professor, teaching Bible. The Lord's healed him. I told you what he looked like the first time I seen him. Oh, and with his stripes, we are healed! My. And in the book of James, chapter number 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now there, when you do the research on that word elder, it's not speaking of let him call for all the old people. Let them call for those that have understanding, for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Why? You mean there's power in this? No. It's all about obedience and doing things God's way. It is not God's way for the preacher to blow on you and you're healed. It is not God's way for the preacher to send you a thread, a paper, your handprint, whatever, and you're healed. It is not God's way for you to place your seed of faith by writing out a check. We're talking about God's way. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of the Lord. What's his name?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
With every eye in the building closed, would you just say that name?
Jesus.
Glory. Say it again.
Jesus.
What a name, what a name, what a name. And so tonight, folks, because this is God's way, because we are in revival and the presence of God is here. Amen? I believe that the Lord is going to raise up the sick if we do it his way. And his way is let them call. If you, my friend, are here tonight and you have any sickness, I would love to give you the opportunity right now. Would you come and line up across the front here, however you feel, however that you do in your church?
Feel free to come and